Well, you can tell it's starting to look a little like Christmas around here. And as I look out, I see some of our college students back, so that's always wonderful. And then you'll probably have noticed the priestly-looking young fellow sitting to my right. That's our seminarian, James Joseph, who just finished his first semester of studies at that wonderful holy institution, St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in Philadelphia, where other great priests have gone before. But with that all said, you know, this is always an exciting time, and I'm sure for any of you who have little people in the home, seeing presents appear under the tree brings joy. It brings excitement. For us who are a little older, the joy isn't so much in receiving the present, but in giving and seeing the happiness that comes by giving that gift. But we have to keep focused, and that's the importance of this fourth Sunday of Advent. We should not focus simply on the presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, but stay focused on the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, of Christ. For Christ is coming to be present to us spiritually, just like as if it were the first Christmas when we celebrate Christmas. So our gospel passage takes us today to the scene of the visitation, that Mary, and we presume St. Joseph, went to visit cousin Elizabeth. Remember, though, that Mary has just received the message of the Archangel Gabriel, who announced to her that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Savior. Mary had been prepared for that moment from the first moment of her life. She was immaculately conceived, meaning conceived and born free of all sin, including the stain of original sin. She was full of grace. She was prepared to receive that message and to say, "Yes, be it done unto me according to thy word." Through her, she conceived by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, true God, entered this world becoming also true man. Remember, too, that St. Joseph, at the same time, has received a message from an angel, presumably Gabriel. The angel appears in a dream and tells him to take Mary as his wife and also to take Jesus as his own child. So St. Joseph would be that wonderful foster father for our Lord. Jesus needed a father. These two people, Mary and Joseph, lived in the presence of God. They were holy. They were righteous, meaning they were right with God. Therefore, when they received this message, they weren't afraid. They lived in God's presence. And because of that, they could say yes and give themselves to God's will. This presence of God, though, in their lives, overflowed in how they expressed themselves throughout life, both in their words as well as their deeds. So when Mary heard that she was going to bear Jesus, Angel Gabriel also said, "Your old cousin Elizabeth, married to old Zachariah, has also conceived, and she's 6 months pregnant with little John the Baptist, that great prophet to prepare the way for our Lord." Well, Mary could have stayed in Nazareth, and we would understand that. Here she is pregnant, and she is the mother of the Savior. She could have stayed there. But she, and we presume St. Joseph, took the time to travel down that long Roman road, 100 miles from Nazareth, all the way down to Jerusalem, then 10 miles west to Ein Kerem, to that little village. That journey must have taken at least a week, and at times going down the Roman road could be dangerous. But they went. And when they came to Elizabeth and Zachariah's house, they brought great love, the love of Christ himself. We hear of how little John leapt in the womb for joy at the presence of the Savior, and we hear how Elizabeth greeted Mary. Well, my brothers and sisters, as we draw closer to Christmas, and just think, next evening, we'll be celebrating Christmas Eve. Let's stay focused. Dwell in the presence of Christ. Take time for quiet, to be still, and to reflect on what we are celebrating. Take time to pray. Read the scriptures, the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, that talk about that Christmas story. Also, just meditate on the great gift of our faith, that we have a Savior who loves us so much, He entered this world to give us life. And then besides that, think about how that presence in your life can overflow to touch someone else's life, to bring that love and joy of the Lord to others. This can be through your words. So the word of greeting, the good Merry Christmas said to someone else, or it can be the word of encouragement to someone who's going through a tough time right now by saying, I will be praying for you. God bless you. It could be the word of truth to someone who's ignorant, someone who may become hostile to the faith, and say, this is what the church teaches. This is what we believe. St. Paul always said, the love of Christ impels me to speak the truth. This may also be a word of gratitude and love, saying to someone that we sometimes may take for granted, honey, thank you for all that you do. I love you. Or to parents, thank you for all that you do. I love you. Great words can be a great gift. And then we have also the actions. Think of keeping the eyes open and seeing how you might help someone in need. I particularly encourage you to think about someone in your family or someone in your neighborhood who may be alone, who may be elderly. What a great act of love to maybe visit that person or to invite that person to your home so that person knows the love of Christmas shared by others. So this is how we're called to keep the presence of Christ alive in our hearts this Christmas. Leo Tolstoy, the great Russian author who lived in the late 1800s, who wrote that massive book called War and Peace, and then Anna Karenina, also wrote a little short story that captures this well. We know it as Martin the Cobbler. So the story's about this little shoemaker who lived in a town. He knew people by their feet because he had made all the shoes, or he had repaired all the shoes. So he lived in this little one-room basement dwelling that served as his cobbler shop, as well as his living room, dining room, kitchen, bedroom, and bathroom. He had one window, so all he could see from his little workbench were feet going across the pathway, but he knew who the people were because he had made their shoes. But poor Martin had a sad life. He had lost his wife. He had lost all of his children. He is very much alone. At one point, he was really at despair. He talked to a wise old monk, and the monk said to him, Martin, we must not judge God's doings. The world moves not by our skill, but by God's. What God decreed is for the best. And you are in despair because you wish to live for your own happiness. Martin said, but what is there to live for? We must live for God. He gives you life, and for His sake you must live. When you begin to live for Him, then life will seem easy to you. Christ taught us how to live for God. Buy a New Testament and read it, and you will learn to live for God. So Martin did. And from that day forward, after dinner, he would sit down in his easy chair, his one chair, and read his New Testament. He knew all those stories. Well, it turns out December 23rd came, and Martin's reading, falls asleep, and he has a dream. And Jesus said to him, Martin, tomorrow I will come to visit you. Oh, he woke up. He was excited, but he managed to go then back to bed. And then the next day came. So December 24th, Christmas Eve came. He got up, had his breakfast, said his prayers, started working at his little shoe stand. And then he noticed outside there was the new snow. He heard shoveling. He saw this old man. He knew the old man because he made the shoes. So there are these old worn out boots. And he thought, that old man can't be shoveling snow. So he went up the steps and he said, what are you doing? And the man said, I have to shovel because otherwise I have no money to live on. So Martin invited the old man in, sat him down, gave him some hot tea to warm his bones, and then he started saying, Jesus is going to come visit me this Christmas. And the man said, I wish I knew more of him because I can't read, so I could never read the Bible. So Martin started telling him all these different stories about the miracles and teachings and so on. And then it came time for the man to depart. But he said to Martin, thank you for treating me kindly and satisfying me in body and soul. Well, time goes on. It's now about midday. And Martin's looking out his window, and he sees two more feet. But these feet have like on summer shoes on. And it looks like the person's wearing a summer kind of lightweight dress. And Martin thought, how could this be? Here it's cold outside. So he went up his steps, opened the door, and he saw a poor young mother with her baby. They're almost blue from the cold. So Martin said, come on in. He sat them down. He held the baby. But he provided for that young mom a bowl of soup, some hot tea, some bread, and then some porridge. And he told the woman, Christ is coming to visit me. And he talked to her about how this all seemed like the first Christmas, that he was able to welcome a young mother with a baby. Well, time went on. She finished her meal, and Martin went to his trunk. There he found his wife's old heavy winter coat. He gave it to her. And then he gave her 20 kopecks. So what little money he had, he shared with her and said, go now, go on your way. And the woman said to him, may God bless you, little grandfather. Without you, we would have frozen to death. They left and departed. Well, then time goes on, and it's evening. And as the evening darkens, he hears scuffling, and he sees 4 feet now sort of scuffling. So he runs up his steps, opens the door, and he sees an older woman who has a basket of apples and a sack of wood on her back, holding on to a little boy. The little boy must have stolen one of her apples. She's berating him and says, I'm going to call the police and have you put in jail, little thief. So Martin says, for the sake of Christ, it's Christmas. Forgive. And the woman kept on berating him. And he said to the little boy, ask for forgiveness. Say that you're sorry. Oh, it went on. So he finally gave money to the old woman to pay for an apple, gave the apple to the little boy, and he said to the old woman, the love of Christ compels us to forgive. It's Christmas. So she forgave, and the little boy asked for forgiveness. And then they went off together, and the little boy carried the heavy sack of wood for the old lady. And so with that, Martin went back into his home. It's now dark, and he's thinking, when is Jesus going to visit me? It's Christmas Eve. Had his dinner, went to his easy chair, opened his New Testament, and as he was reading, he then heard a voice come through the dark, and he said, Martin, it is I. Do you recognize me? He turned around, and he saw that old man that he had helped in the morning. Then he heard again, it is I, and he saw the young mom with her baby. Then he heard again, it is I, and he saw the old woman with the little boy. And then, as he looked down at his New Testament, he read the verse, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these brothers, you've done it to me. And Martin understood, Tolstoy writes, that his dream had not deceived him, the Savior really called on him that day, that he really received Jesus. So the story isn't really Martin the Cobbler. The story is entitled, Where Love Is, There God Is Also. So my brothers and sisters, let's not focus so much on the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, but keep focused of the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, and make that presence known through your love. Live in the love of the Lord, share that love with others, and you'll know the meaning of Christmas. May God bless you.